Brachos Daf Samach Aleph. Rav Meir says you should always have a few words before Hashem. Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda says, why are there two yuds in the word Vayetzer, Vayetzer Hashem Elokim as Adam, talking about how Hashem created man? Why is Vayetzer spelled with two yuds? Because man was created with a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara, symbolized by the two yuds. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, but it doesn't say Vayetzer with two yuds about the animals, but they clearly have a yetzer hara because they damage, they kick, they bite, things like that. So clearly they have a yetzer hara, but it doesn't say two yuds by them. So if Shimon Pazi answers that, what's the two yuds? They symbolize that we're saying, woe to me because my creator, my yotzri, my creator, who will punish me if I sin, and woe to me because I have a yetzer hara, my yitzri, who will cause me, who pushes me to sin. So the two yuds symbolize that. Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar says that the two yuds symbolize that Hashem created two figures in the first, in Adam HaRishon. One was male and one was female, and they were joined back to back. So the pasuk says, Vayivin Hashem Elokim es hatzela. Hashem built the side, meaning Hashem split the two and built one into a man. One, he kept one into a man, built one into a woman. So Rav and Shmuel says, one of them say the side. That's talking about a figure, meaning it was originally a double figure back to back, and Hashem took one of the figures and made that into a woman. However, the other says, what does the word side mean? It's talking about a tail, that this Adam Rishon had a tail, and Hashem took it and made it into Chava, made it into a woman. So now we're going to question that opinion that says it's a tail. So according to the opinion that says Hashem took a tail, why do we have a pasuk that says Achor Yakdam Achor Vikedem Saratani, that a back and a front you formed me? That sounds like they're joined back to back. So if Ami answers that Achor Vekedem Saratani is talking about man was created last, but he was punished first. And it's not talking about the punishment with the snake, because we know the snake was cursed first, and Rebbe says that in matters of prominence, we start with the most prominent, and in bad things, we start with the least prominent, and therefore the snake was cursed, then Chava, then Adam. So clearly, man was punished last in that case. So rather, they receive their punishment first in the Mabul, because it says, May Adam Vad Beima, from man to animal would be wiped out. So clearly man was first. Okay, fine. So we had Vayetzer has the double yuds. That implies two forms, like we had said earlier. So what does the person who says tail say with the double yuds and Vayetzer? He explains, like Rav Shimon ben Pazi, woe to me because of my yotzri, woe to me because of my yitzri. Okay, fine. But we have another pasuk which says, Zachar v'nikeva baram, that this implies there was one male and one female who sounds like they were joined together. So what is the opinion that says it was a tail say? So Rabbi Abahu answers that he contrasts the two psukim, the pasuk we just had before, Zachar v'nikeva baram, meaning that they were created as both male and female, and then the other pasuk of B'Tselem Elokim bara es ha'adam, which implies, this pasuk says that implies that it was only a male that was created. So how do we understand this? So at first, Hashem wanted to make two separate beings, like he made for all the animals, but then Hashem decided to only make one. So Vayeskor Basar Tachtona, that Hashem filled in the flesh after he took out the second side to make Chava. So this makes sense for the fact that Hashem took off half of Adam, but what is the one by tail say? What was filled in? What flesh was filled in by chopping off a tail? So if Yirmiyah answers, this was to fill in the point of the incision of the tail. So the pasuk says, Vayiven, that Hashem built Chava into a person. So it makes sense for a tail that Hashem built a body from the tail. So what does the person who say that it was a full figure do with the word Vayiven? So Shimon ben Manasseh answers that Hashem braided her hair and brought her to Adam, because overseas they call a hair braider a banaisa, a builder. Rav Chisda says that Vayiven is to symbolize that Chava and women were built like a storehouse, narrow at the top and wide at the bottom for childbirth. Vayavia el ha'adam, Hashem brought Chava to Adam. Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar says that Hashem made the wedding arrangements for Adam and Chava, and this teaches that an important person should always make the wedding arrangements for an unimportant person and should not be upset about it. So according to the one that says there were two figures put together, one back to back, which one was in front? So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it makes more sense to say Adam was in front, and meaning when Adam would walk forward, Chava would, in the figure behind him, the female figure, would essentially be walking backwards. So it makes more sense to say it was Adam, because a Braisa says that a man should not walk behind a woman, even if it's his wife. You should make every effort to pass a woman if you're behind her, even if you're on a bridge. And anyone that passes behind a woman in a river will lose their olam haba. We have a brice that says, if you do things to look at a woman, like you go out of your way to look at a woman, even if you have as much Torah and good deeds as Moshe, you're not going to be spared from Gehenim. Rav Nachman says, Manoach, who is Shimshon's father, was an Ama Aretz because the pasuk says he followed his wife. Rav Nachman Yitzchak has a problem with this because we know that by Elkanah, who is Shlomo's father, by Elkanah, who is Shmuel's father, it says that he followed his wife, and Elisha also followed a woman, and these were two great tzaddikim. So it must be that when it says they followed their wives, it's not taken literally. Rather, it means they followed after their wives and these women's words and advice. So too, by Manoach, he didn't follow her literally. He followed her words and her advice. And Ashi says, he adds, if you're going to say that Manoach really did follow his wife, then he must not have even learned Torah, because it says that Rivka went after Eliezer. She went behind him. She didn't go in front of him, because Eliezer should not have been following behind Rivka. Yochanan says that it's better to go behind a lion than go behind a woman. It's better to go behind a woman than go behind an idol. And it's better to go behind an idol than go behind a shul while they're davening. However, if you're carrying something, or there's another door, or you're riding on a donkey, or you're wearing tefillin, then it's fine to go to walk behind a shul while they're davening. Rav says, the Yetzer Hara is like a fly that sits between the two gateways of your heart. Shmuel says the Yetzer Hara is like wheat. We have a brisa that says you have two kidneys. Why? Because one counsels you to do good and one counsels you to do bad. The good one is on your right side, the bad one is on your left side. The brisa says kidneys are there to counsel you. Your heart considers their counsel. The tongue articulates. Your mouth utters the decision. The esophagus takes in food. The windpipe gives voice. The lungs take in liquids. The liver gets angry. The gall injects a drop into the liver and calms it down. The spleen laughs. The gizzard grinds food. The stomach sleeps and the nose awakens. If the stomach awakens and the nose sleeps, meaning they switch roles, then you'll die. And another brisa says if both stomach and nose are asleep, or they're both awake, then you will also die. So, a brisa quotes Rabbi Yossi Haglili that tzaddikim are ruled completely by the Yetzer Tov, Rishayim are ruled completely by the Yetzer Hara, Beinonim, people in the middle, are ruled by both. Rava says, yeah, I'm actually a Beinoni. Rava was a big Talmud Chacham, he's a big tzaddik. So for him to say he was a Beinoni, Abai says, if you're going to call yourself a Beinoni, then no one could live with that standard. If you yourself, a tremendous tzaddik, are saying you're a Beinoni, that means we're all complete Rashas. So Rava says, Olam Haba was only created for Rishayim, meaning Olam Hazeh was only created for Rishayim, meaning as a way to give Rishayim reward for any good deeds that they might have done and not have to reward them in Olam Haba. Olam Haba was created only for the Tzaddikim, and a person should know what he is, if he's a Rasha, if he's a Tzaddik. Rav said that Olam Hazeh was created only for Achav ben Omri, who was a big Rasha, but did one or two good deeds throughout the way. And Olam Haba was created only for Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Abraisa says, quotes Rabbi Elazar, that why does the pasuk say both Bechol Nafshecha and Bechol Me'odecha, with all your soul and with all your money? Because it's talking to two different people. If we're talking about someone whose money is more precious to him than his life, then it said Bechol Me'odecha, talking about him, that he has to serve Hashem with all his money. If there's someone whose life is more precious to him than his money, then it says Bechol Nafshecha, that you have to serve Hashem with all of your life. Rabbi Akiva says Bechol Nafshecha means you have to even die for Hashem. We quote a story in Abraisa about Rabbi Akiva that the Romans decree that you can't learn Torah. So Pappas ben Yehuda found Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah in public. He said, aren't you scared that you're going to be caught and imprisoned and maybe they'll kill you? He said, well, let me give you a mashal. There's a fox that sees that fish are swimming away and frantically trying to escape. And he says, what are you guys doing? And they say, we're scared of being caught by the net. We don't want to be caught. So the fox said, all right, so why don't you just come jump out of the water and come here with me so that you'll be safe from the net. And they're like, you fool. If we're scared in a place that sustains our life, how much more so will be scared in a place that doesn't sustain our life? And Rabbi Akiva is saying, if we learn Torah and we're in danger, then how much more so if we don't learn Torah we'll have no Torah and we'll be in danger. So it's even worse. We may as well. It's so much better to learn Torah even though we're in danger. So Rabbi Akiva was shortly after caught and he was thrown in jail. Pappas ben Yehuda was also thrown in jail, and he lamented that Rabbi Akiva was incarcerated for learning Torah and Pappas ben Yehuda was thrown in for meaningless things. However, Pappas ben Yehuda actually will come upon this story later, but Pappas ben Yehuda actually was thrown in jail because he accepted the blame for the emperor's daughter being killed, even though it wasn't him. They were going to slaughter all the Jews, so Pappas ben Yehuda and another accepted the blame for all the Jews. So when he said he was thrown in jail for meaningless things, it's not because he wasn't doing a great thing and a big mitzvah to save the entire community by taking the blame. He just meant that he was thrown in jail for no actual charges because he didn't do anything. So they went to execute Rabbi Akiva by combing his flesh with those iron combs. Rabbi Akiva started to recite Shema. And the student says, Rabbi Akiva, why are you saying Shema? You're dying. And he said, well, I can finally mean Bechol Nafshecha. All my life I've been saying Bechol Nafshecha, you have to be willing to die for Hashem, and now I can finally actually do that. When Rabbi Akiva finished saying the word Echad, his soul left, and a baskel, a heavenly voice, went out and says, fortunate is Rabbi Akiva who died at the word Echad. So the angels all started complaining to Hashem. Zu Torah v'zu Schara, this is the Torah and this is its reward. Rabbi Akiva was tortured and killed, and he was the biggest Talmud Chacham. This is its reward. So Hashem said, no, their reward is in Olam Haba, not Olam Hazeh. Rabbi Akiva obviously had a very big chelak, a very big share in Olam Haba. And another baskel voice from heaven went out saying that Rabbi Akiva went straight to Olam Haba. So the Mishnah said that you can't behave lightheadedly by the Beis Hamikdash. So Rav says this is only within the overlook, meaning there's a certain place that's tzufim within that overlook. That's where you can't behave lightheadedly, and you also have to be able to see the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, the qualifications for where you have to act with respect are being within the overlook. You have to be able to see the Beis Hamikdash. There can't be a wall between you and the Beis Hamikdash, and it's only when Hashem's presence is there. So nowadays, Hashem's presence is gone, so it seemingly wouldn't apply. There's a braisa that says that if you defecate in Yerushalayim, you have to face north to south, so that not east to west, because then you would be facing the Beis Hamikdash. And in the Galil, you face east to west, because Galil is north and south, running north and south of Yerushalayim, so it's better to face east and west. Rabbi Yossi allows, because the only problem is if you could see the Beis Hamikdash, or there's no wall, or there's no Shechina, meaning that for Rabbi Yossi it's not a problem, however, whichever direction you want to face while going to the bathroom, because it's only a problem if you can actually see the Beis Hamikdash, or there's no wall separating you, or Hashem's presence is there. But the Chachamim say, no, it's Aser, you still have to follow these guidelines of going to the bathroom. But the Chachamim seem exactly like the Tanna Kamma, because the Tanna Kamma said you have to face east to west, and the Chachamim are saying also you have to face east to west. So aren't they the same? No, because the difference is in areas that are not directly opposite of the Beis HaMikdash. According to the Tanna Kamma, even areas that are not directly opposite the Beis HaMikdash, meaning perfectly east to west or north to south of the Beis HaMikdash, would be included in the Yisr, and you would have to act with respect. But according to the Chachamim, those areas are not included. Abraisa says, in Yerushalayim, you can't face east to west. In the Galil, you do face east to west. Rabbi Yossi would say, no, you don't have to worry about that, because it's only a problem if you can see the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's only a problem when the Beis Hamikdash exists. That's when you have a problem and you have to act with respect. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's always usher, no matter what. But again, the Tanna Kamma, who says you can't face east to west in Yerushalayim, is the same as Rabbi Akiva's opinion, who says also that you can't face east to west. You have to act with respect. So it's the same thing. No, so the difference is when you're outside of Yerushalayim, because Rabbi Akiva said it's always usher, meaning even if you're outside of Eretz Yisrael, even if you're outside of Israel, you have to always act with respect, and you can never go to the bathroom facing Yerushalayim. But according to the Tanna Kamma, if you're outside of Israel, then there's no problem with facing towards the Beis Hamikdash. Rabba was in Bavel, outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he laid the bricks for his bathroom east to west, so that when he went to the bathroom, he'd be facing north to south, away from the Beis Hamikdash. Abaye placed his bricks north to south so that he would have to face east to west, and he wanted to see what his Rebbe Rabba would do. Would he care or not? Did he just randomly place them like that, or did he actually care? And Rabba got upset that his bricks were misplaced, because he said he held like Rebbe Akiva, and Abaye was able to discern what Rabba held. Shkayach.